DeSanto Propane is four generations strong as a trustworthy family-owned business with unmatched customer service. Go online at DeSantoPropane.com for more info or call toll-free at 1-800-752-4574. Since 1937, the difference has been DeSanto Propane.
Everybody, welcome in. Fresh Takes, Russo and Felice. Paul Russo here with you, fresh off the boat from Pittsburgh. Nick Felice. Nick, it's going to be a basketball-heavy episode once again, but luckily the NBA playoffs have given us plenty of storylines, so we're going to ride with that. NFL draft as well this weekend, so get a little bit on that. But it's that time of year, folks, where we take the headlines when we can get them.
Yeah, it's almost getting to those summer hours.
We're almost there, pretty much.
Almost there, but yeah.
Another month and a half.
Pittsburgh was fun. I wish it was a little longer. It was quick. We only went down for the day. Pirates were struggling over the weekend, but back on it. Beating those Brewers this week so far. Mm-hmm. Looking good. What's that hat you're wearing, though? Who's that?
I got one of the old Double Day hats on, so.
Old Double Day hat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Manfrod.
R.I.P. Ish?
Ish. Adjacent. It's like one of those weird, like, you know, like in a reality, or in a TV show, not reality show, but a TV show when they recast a character. Like, the one that always sticks out to me is Fresh Prince, right? With Aunt Viv. Like, you aren't Aunt Viv.
Yeah.
It's kind of the deal there.
For me, it's also...
Not to dunk on, obviously, the college team that's there now, but it's just not the same.
For me, it's Last Man Standing.
That's true.
Big fan of the show.
A couple recasts.
Eve is the only actress that survived from the season one.
As the daughter. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's wild. I didn't fully realize that.
Recasted both daughters throughout the show.
Well, kind of.
Yeah.
First season was a recast. Molly was,
you know, Ryan
committed to
elsewhere. You know the character Ryan in that show. He was Nick Jonas in the first season.
That's correct as well. Yeah, yeah. I watched Last Man Standing.
Yeah, the whole once the real Mandy went away, kind of. I didn't like that.
Yeah, I went by their actual name. So Molly, and then the other actress that plays Mandy is also Molly.
Yeah. So, yep.
But yeah,
recasting. Yeah, that's how it feels with the Auburn Double A's. All
them Patavia.
Nothing against the PGCBL, you know. We miss our...
It's just not the same.
We miss our short summer league.
I miss my short trip over for Buck Night, is all, you know. So, now, not that I don't like going to Syracuse or Rochester, but, you know, things were easier when it was only a 15-minute drive. So, yeah, but Pittsburgh good. It's good to hear.
Miami did make it into the playoffs.
Yeah, we were both wrong on the original front on that one, so. I was wrong on the Kings. You were right on the Pels.
Yeah.
So.
I think I picked Kings, too.
I thought you picked the Pels.
I think I picked the Pels to beat the Lakers.
Okay. Right.
I was hoping the Lakers would get knocked out. But, the Heat, big game tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's jump into a little bit of that stuff. I feel as though... I don't want to call it necessarily controversy because, like, for us, like, me and you, we pay enough attention to the NBA throughout the regular season, obviously, that, as I call it, a lot of the stuff kind of talking around the playoffs right now is not a surprise to us, i.e. end of game, two-minute reports, et cetera, et cetera. Kind of wanted to jump off and get going with that because that was kind of the main thing I've seen a lot of people talk about. I don't want to focus maybe too much on, like, the individual teams at this point. I do find it rich which teams are the ones kind of complaining about it and which ones aren't. And I always say that because just to quote, I guess, NBA Twitter, as Doris Burke would call it, you have free throw merchants out there. But it's kind of funny to me to see these people complain who don't watch the NBA enough during the regular season about these two-minute reports, which we've talked about this a couple different times on here throughout, you know, the now 6 years we've been doing this, coming up on six full years anyway of doing this. And I don't think either one of us have a necessary problem with them. I know I'm the only part I'm not a big fan of is, like, no other sport really does this in a way. It kind of puts you know, their own officiating on notice, as I call it. Not that I don't have a problem with it. I mean, we MLB this week is dealing with another umpiring, not scandal, but issue, certainly, that, look, I'm not sitting here saying all, you know, in this case, obviously, with the NBA, like, these refs need to be reprimanded or suspended or something. I just don't think I like the way the two-minute report kind of, it's like the end of it, right? Like, there's no actual repercussions of these officials outside of, like, we, I was going back to this, like, in an ideal world, we never know about any of these refs' names or umpires' names or officials' names, right? In the ideal world, we don't know a lick about them, right? But because of the way things are, right, we do, right? Like, I shouldn't be able to point to on a TV and say, oh, number 58 in the NBA, that's Scott Foster. Or I think he's a 48. That's Scott Foster, right? Number 14 is Ed Molloy. I shouldn't be able to do that. You know what I mean? But here we are. And obviously, I think the main ones surrounding this discussion point right now happened to your Knicks, or involving your Knicks, rather, up 2-0 against the Sixers. The Sixers, especially Embiid, complaining about the lack of missed calls and lack of call, and proven right, obviously, in the two-minute report. I just find it funny that him, of all people, is the one kind of complaining about it, because he gets
every call.
He gets away with one. And I don't want to sound like a homer here by any means, but I found it very funny that he complained about Tyler Hero in the post-game press conference of Game 2 of your Knicks series, right, about that. Like, how mentally soft do you have to be at this point to go back to something that happened a week ago?
Yeah.
You know, either way. Luckily for the Knicks, right, they get to go to Philly with still pretty much having home court advantage in this deal as a support and safety net. But man, they just look, I don't want to say maybe so much better than the Sixers, to get away from the original point of starting the discussion here, but like, man, they kind of go back to what I said last week. That team is a well-oiled machine when they get going like they are.
You, out of here.
All right.
I don't care who said it. You're gone.
Yeah. There you go. I deserve that.
But, yeah, I mean, the Sixers, I mean, it's Philly. They're a bunch of babies. They're a bunch of crybabies. Ooh,
that's true.
It's all seriousness, but they didn't have, I mean, I'm a Knicks fan talking here, so it's a little biased. They didn't have possession on that steal. They're complaining about the timeout, and they're complaining about the foul.
I mean, my hot take about the timeout, can I interrupt there for a quick second? My thing about the timeout, looking at especially the still picture that the NBA used in their two-minute report, Nick Nurse is not even looking at the most close official on that.
Yeah, you know.
Like, I understand where he's coming from, and I do agree, timeout probably should have been called there, obviously. But you aren't even at the official that's literally, like, pretty much right next to you about it. It's like, that's equally on you at that point as it is on the official, in my mind.
And it's always, it's like, where's the respect, you know? It's like one thing a player say, but the coach always just, Nick Nurse is acting like they lost the game. It's never the Knicks won the game.
Right.
It's they lost the game. And let's not forget, they had that call that was overturned, which very questionable call a couple of possessions earlier about DiVincenzo.
Oh, I mean, To be fair, right, I mean, the Sixers kind of did lose that game, the way I phrase it, right?
Like, yeah, they turned the ball over.
I mean? Yeah.
Crazy game.
But don't complain about the refs being the cause. Like, that's on you for taking dumb shots.
I always remember that game, man. I watched that with my dad and my brother, all Knicks fans, and we were talking about, man, 1-1.
Having your own mini side talk session.
Yeah, we're like both saying, going to Philly, and I remember we were saying, if Brunson shoots like this, we're never going to win.
Right.
And we just couldn't believe what we saw happen in that little possession. And then they get the stops down the end. They make the free throws. They did everything right at the end of that game. There's just no quit in this team. Awesome to defend a home court. Another great crowd there. You know, it's just no respect. That's just the biggest thing for me. The Sixers still, and I know he's supposed to say this, MB, we're still going to win the series, but they still think they're the better team, which is, like, it's just because It's because the Knicks don't have a lot of household names. DiVincenzo's had a career year. Josh Hart's had a career year. It's just they don't have a lot of big names. A lot of people don't think Brunson's a super, super, superstar. And it's just what the Knicks do so well, they are the perfect team basketball team. They just play as a team so well, and it just gels. They got all the guys in the right pieces. OG does his job. Hart, DiVincenzo, Brunson, Hartenstein, Robinson off the bench now.
I think I'd push back a little bit maybe on the no, they don't have names people know. Like, I feel like at this point you'd – maybe in the terms of, like, the general sport fan, I'd agree with you. But even if you're just a casual basketball fan, like, if you don't know Jalen Brunson at this point, that's just on you.
Yeah, well, I'm not talking about Jalen Brunson, really. I'm more talking even about then, DiVincenzo. Well,
even then, though, I feel like if you don't know who, like, Josh Hart is, like, I feel like that's on you.
Yeah,
Josh Hart's been in this league just as long as Brunson has at this point. Yeah. Like, I mean.
Josh Hart's doing an unbelievable job out there. And
also, are you counting Julius Randle on this, or?
No. I mean, Randle and Brunson are the stars. It's just, well, Randle's out right now, and it's just.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Like, our second and third best players right now are the Villanova guys.
Fair.
And it's just people don't think of DiVincenzo and Hart as a number two or a number three. But the way DiVincenzo's shooting the ball right now, he could be a number two on a lot of teams.
God, it's really funny doing the retrospective on this right now because, like, he is exactly what the Warriors really needed this year.
And that's
just let him go.
And this
just
is
didn't even bother giving him a contract offer.
This is the DiVincenzo I thought in college when he dominated Villanova.
Yeah.
And then he went to Milwaukee, did win a championship, but wasn't the main piece.
Just nah, it wasn't a right fit. Not the right fit in the system. He pretty much is probably what Pat Connaughton was supposed to be in a way, I guess, right? Except
it
took him like a year or two longer to get along defensively.
I thought when he did go to Golden State, he was going to become this shooter, and he hasn't. And it really, I mean, even Brunson made the shot at the end, had to bounce in. But really, hats off to the other seven guys, man. Bogey had some big shots down the stretch. McBride still.
It really is crazy because, like, obviously we talk a ton about OG. And obviously justifiably so, right? But, like, it really does get lost in the shuffle, that other deal, which probably really gets the Knicks in the spot, right, with Bogdanovich and Alec Burks, surprisingly, right? Yep. Where it's just like, yeah, like, now looking back, I was like, maybe that was, like, not to downplay the OG deal, because especially now with Randle being out, like, it's big. But, like, it's kind of like one of those things where, like, what Bogdanovich, Burks kind of help with that second unit now, especially. It's like, ooh, like, damn, you know?
And I'll talk about Sixers a little bit here. Maxey plays as good as you possibly can in these first two games, and they're 0-2.
Yeah.
They need more of these other guys. Like,
and, dude, I noticed this in the Heat game and the play-in, but, like, Tobias Harris, I don't know what – I can't say what happened to him this year. I am in fantasy, and he was always, like, right on the edge of me dropping him, but, like, I, like, couldn't justifiably do it.
He's killing him.
But, man, he looked bad in that Heat game. He has not looked much better in the Knicks series, to put it bluntly. The
Batum had already had his one good game.
He
went off that Heat game. Yeah. And, Oubre's doing a good job on Brunson, but he needs to score a little bit more. He had 4 points.
Yeah, it's really weird, the Oubre thing, because I don't think any one of, like, whether me, you, our friend group, anybody really expected him to be kind of this defensive-minded guy. He's always been a very offensive-minded guy, in my opinion. And all of a sudden, this year, it's kind of switched. It's weird. But they do. You're right. They need him to find.
It cannot be all
a shot again.
It, like, cannot be all Embiid, who's playing like 40%.
He's playing hurt.
Yeah, he's like 40% out there.
Yeah,
and then relying too much on Maxey, and we've seen so many basketball games in our whole life that come down to a bad call or bad no call, and that's basketball. It's going to happen.
I mean, that's just sports.
People complain when they touch ticky-tack fouls, and they're getting upset because they're letting them play a little bit.
I mean, I kind of find it funny that the NBA, and it's different than any other sport in this way. I guess you kind of maybe see a little bit with football, but to me, not the degree that it really is, because, like, in football, as I say, you could probably call holding on every play if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
But, like, in the NBA, the officiating definitely, for the most part, doesn't call those ticky-tack stuff during the playoffs. They usually let all that stuff go. They usually let you get away with a little bit more contact in the playoffs. And like I said, it's just kind of funny that the team kind of really complain about the most right now. It's the one who gets away with it the most in the regular season. They really do.
They had a timeout.
Yeah.
I don't remember who threw the ball into Maxey. Who was that? Was that Heald?
I think. Speaking of a guy who just disappeared.
Yeah. Another one, why are you forcing that pass? You have a timeout to use. You can move the ball up to half court.
It's interesting, though, because on the broadcast, and I don't know if you noticed it, but it's something that myself and my dad also noticed. On the broadcast, on the game bug, it showed that the Sixers didn't have a timeout, and even Stan Van Gundy said that they didn't have a timeout. So I don't know if there was some sort of confusion somewhere or what, because obviously they did have a timeout. They ended up taking one the next possession to advance the ball. So I don't know.
Did you hear the Sixer announcers?
No.
On TikTok?
No.
They're up five, and it's late, last minute, they're the game. I don't know, some girl and some guy were calling the game.
Right.
They're like, Nick Nurse said before this game, as long as we get one win, the job is done, and the job is done. We went in here and got a win.
Oh, no.
Let's head back on the turnpike.
You can't be saying that.
And then they said, check out the post-game show after. It's going to be a good one. And
I bet you it was good.
And then it all went down.
I don't want to be that guy. You're up five. There's no such thing as is a game over being up five with like 30 seconds to go.
Yeah.
Especially in the NBA, especially at Madison Square Garden of all places.
Yeah, they said that. Let's get to the turnpike. We did our job.
Jesus Christ, these people. All right, let's talk about a couple other.
So, what do you?
Sure.
What do you think was more arguably to complain about, the foul or the timeout?
I lean timeout, but not in the same way I think a lot of people are. Like I said, I can't believe a coach of Nick Nurse's caliber is like looking at the far official to get that, the far ref to get that. Like,
also, rebound the basketball.
I mean, that would help.
I know the Knicks are really good at that offensive.
But like I said, I mean, I go back to this, right? Like they did so much dumb stuff the final few moments. Like Maxey drove in and Hartenstein just had a really great block, and that was post, I think. Yeah, that was post the whole
debacle. That was their first possession.
But like it was stuff like that where it's like that's really why you lost.
And I
mean, even the last shot too, like what, like Maxey has it. And I get maybe wanting to pass out of it. Like Embiid's probably the better spot up shooter in that spot in terms of catch and shoot. But, like Embiid literally held the ball for a whole ass second.
Yeah.
Like I don't know what.
I give Maxey props. He's one not really complaining at all.
No, I think, you know, well, I mean, everybody's going to Embiid. And then they're probably, I'm trying to think of like the right, I mean, they probably go to Harris after, I would assume, right? In terms of hierarchy of guys. Maybe Batum after, only because of the week he's had.
Also, Embiid, stick your chest up. Come on. Don't be looking at with your head down. Come on. Be a man.
That just tells me everything that, I mean, I've had a hunch about him for a while anyway. So it's like, whatever. But. Nah, who knows? Yeah, let's move on to a couple other.
Another bad more call, series. I guess.
Bad call. Which one?
Lakers game.
Oh. I don't think it really matters in the grand scheme of it for them.
Lakers had so many chances after that D'Angelo Russell non-foul or turnover call. They blew it.
Yeah.
They're the ones that blew a 20-point lead. It wasn't because of one play.
Yeah.
And Jamal Murray didn't play that great, but needs to get more respect, man.
I've been trying to tell you, so I'm going to circle back to him, but I've been trying to tell you people for a while here, y'all know my thoughts on Karl Towns, you know my thoughts on Anthony Davis, old tall man, old I'm defensive player of the year, couldn't even stop Jamal Murray. Okay. you know what, Jamal Murray's a dude who, I mean, Jimmy Butler gets this, obviously, but like Jamal's kind of similar, although I think it's that Denver thing we talked about last year where it's like they kind of fly under the radar just because like they're only team in the mountain time zone. Like it's just weird.
Are they really?
Well, I get. Yeah. I mean, technically speaking,
Utah is west.
Oh, I guess they would. Are they in the mountain? Yeah, they might be. Yeah, they are. Okay. Either way, it's Utah. Who gives a shit?
they got a hockey team.
Don't get me started on that. Anyway, but like they get lost in the shuffle for some reason. Every year they just get lost in the shuffle. Like last year and like even this year, Like, I was talking with people at basketball Sunday morning. It's like, who do you, like, Denver? Because, like, why not?
Like, 10 in a row?
Yeah, he's a guy who, like, he plays really well in the regular season. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to, but, like, he definitely turns it up in the postseason. And he has his whole career. So that does not surprise me that he was the one taking the shot when they needed it to, obviously. So, but, yeah, I mean, that – I can't take the Lakers seriously. I mean, I just can't. I mean, we've talked enough about them really over the course of the past, like, 3 years. Because, like, this team, for the most part, has remained unchanged for the past 3 years outside of, like, swapping the same piece out for a different piece that fits the same mold, right? Like, obviously not the right example, but, like, right, like, Caruso leaves in free agency. They just kind of elevate Austin Reaves to take a spot. You know, they have the cyclical point guard thing, like, right, like Russell Westbrook out, D'Angelo Russell in type D.
Not the greatest pieces.
I mean, I'm not saying they're bad, right? Like, especially D'Angelo, like, Russell could, if he didn't have the past baggage still, like, kind of on him for some reason, like, he could go on, like, pretty much half the league and make an immediate impact, in my mind. But he's got the baggage from the past, so it's like, whatever. But, like, look, I never think any team's actually going to get swept in the playoffs. I think it's incredibly tough to do, especially now, right, given the fact that within reason, right, everybody's kind of – like, the competition's never been closer talent-wise. Like, at the end of the day, like, we all – like, the old joke has always been, like, oh, I bet you I could beat the – I could take – the 13th guy on an NBA bench one-on-one. Like, no, you cannot. Like, they will smoke you. Like, the old that I know it's always the topic in our friend group. Like, Ron Baker was Mr. Kansas for high school basketball. He would smoke anybody. And he's been retired for 5 years now, 6 years now.
Also a gym rat.
Exactly. Like, there's just no
– his life is one-on-one.
There's just no way, right, that, like, anybody within reason is going to beat one of these, like, 13th guys, right? But – and that's why I never think there's going to be a sweep. Like, I still think the Lakers will probably get one on Denver, but, like, I don't think they're an actual contender. I mean, this is really the first time I'm sitting here with, like, LeBron James being like,
should have lost.
You're gone, right? You know,
should have lost.
But that's the thing. Like, that was that's the thing, right? Like, I don't think you should lose. Like, that's the Heat thing last year. Like, a ton of people were just like, the Heat should lose the play-in so you can get a better playoff or a better draft availability in the lotto last year, and lo and behold, they end up in the finals. Like, you just don't know. Like, you know, and I don't think you should go out there, and especially you get to that point of playing, right, where it's just one game and you could just be in. Like, you shouldn't tank that. If you're going to tank, like, you shouldn't be putting yourself in the play-in scenario anyway in the first place. So, but back to the actual matter at hand there. Like, I just can't. I mean, Denver, for one, is way too talented, like I said, anyway.
They're not in the same class.
No, it's completely different. Completely different. They're getting outplayed. They're getting outcoached. It's just...
Yeah,
you're kind of looking in my mind, like, kind of like that 2012 is not the right example with the Lakers because they brought in, like, Nash and Dwight Howard and all them.
Yeah, it was a mess.
Kind of like the 2014-ish, like, where it's just, like, the Lakers are, like, kind of on life support. Like, we were still, like, thinking of them and, like, yeah, if they get in, like, the 7th seed, like, maybe they could do something, right? Because, like, Kobe's still Kobe. And, you know, like, D'Angelo Russell, part one, right? Jordan Clarkson. Like, those guys are all, like, good. Like, good. Like, they're young, but they're all good.
Josh Hart, Julius Randle.
Right. But, like... you know, you couldn't really take them seriously. That's what this Laker team kind of feels like.
Yeah. I think they overachieved this year.
Oh, they definitely did. Yeah.
They'd be where they are. They're really.
And me and you are still here dunking on them.
Yeah. I think they're a playing team at best. And here they are in the playoffs. So I give them a little credit. But no, they're not in the class of the Denver Nuggets. I mean, Denver's beaten 10 times in a row. I know they've been competitive games, even last year's finals, Western Conference finals. But. Got to win the game. Got to prove something. And they just haven't. And of course, you know, L.A., great home field advantage.
Right.
Ugh, it's not that hard to play. And Denver could easily sweep this series. And I know you said it's hard, but Wouldn't be surprised if Denver sweeps this series at all. And that's just what the defending champs do. That's what great teams do.
They, no, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised one way or another on that
sweep. Ron ever lost in the first round?
I mean, I'd have to look that up quick. Maybe like his second year in the league or something.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah, I'd have to look that up.
Because when he loses, he either missed the playoffs or playing or the other round. That would be something.
Right.
That would be something. But, you know, let's give Magic Cavs some credit here, man. I mean, it's stupid, the TV schedule.
I was about to get to that when we talk about the Heat series.
Magic Cavs.
Heat and Thunder series, by the way.
Why the Magic Cavs getting NBA TV two games in a row? Like, come on. I know it's not a household.
Oh, so I have an update on the LeBron front here. Actually, the only time he's been limited in the first round was the 2021 playoffs. Post-bubble.
Post-bubble. Oh, yeah.
That first year out.
Kind of remember that.
Yeah. Huh. It says that him and Anthony Davis were just burned out.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They were blaming the bubble. Yeah. I remember.
Yeah.
It was a short season to begin with, and they're blaming the bubble.
Right. But not all that long ago to answer the question. Yeah.
But Cavs Magic, NBA TV, two games in a row. Come on.
I mean, it's tough because, like, those are nationally available. The channel's nationally available anyway.
Yeah.
I have a hot take, though, about the first round. Like, unless you're really getting – like, if you're on TNT, right, and you get Harlan and I guess it'd be Reggie right now. Mm. Or if you're getting
Iron Eagle.
But no, I mean, I like Mike Breen and J.J. Redick. I think J.J. Redick gets a lot of flack for no reason. I can't do the Doris Burke front. Unless you're getting one of them as your TV crew, I think the first round I'd be listening to the local broadcast if I could anyway. So
I watched MSG.
Yeah.
Which was Mike Breen.
Yeah, that's the crazy part about that one, too, right? It's just like, how'd they not have him on a game somewhere?
You know, he's calling on MSG. He's like, oh, this is great.
Yeah. But either way. So that series, in a way, reminds me a lot of, like, the Suns T-Wolves series going on right now. Just kind of, I don't want to say they're, like, exactly somewhere, but it's kind of like they're just floating on their air right now. There's been some storylines with them that have gotten lost in the shuffle, right, because of, like, the Sixers and Knicks officiating, you know, the Lakers deal, right? But, like, you have the Suns who clearly just are not built for the playoffs, or I guess really even regular season.
Still not there, right?
But, like, just not looking good. The T-Wolves who are out there, Karl Towns playing tall man, as I call it. But, I mean, Anthony Edwards is different. He is different. And justifiably talking a lot of smack to KD, should be, right? But both those series have gotten really, like, really chippy, and it's flown under the radar. I mean, the Cavs and Magic have come to, well, as close as you can come to blows in today's NBA. So
Magic, it's been, back-to-back 80s.
Yeah, it's been pretty interesting. Yeah, the Cavs-Magic series is something straight out of 95 right now. Like, it's defense, whatever. I don't know. I think we might have finally had an over game, but I could be wrong. But, like, for the first game of each first round matchup, the under had hit in all eight games.
Wow.
So something to keep an eye on there, obviously. But yeah, I mean, it's the NBA playoffs. Defense actually matters. You know, it's kind of weird how they flip the switch. I guess it kind of just leaves the Heat in Boston as well. One of these other series we haven't talked about a ton. Jimmy obviously being hurt. Butler for the Heat. Doesn't leave me super confident the rest of the way anyway.
Like the plus 14.5 tonight now?
It was the same line as last game, so why not?
I mean, did they cover?
They did.
Yeah,
they did. Because so. Celtics were up by 20-something as well, and they blew the lead. The Heat just couldn't really get within single digits, though, and stay in single digits.
Hey, they win tonight.
I mean, well, anything's possible, but like it's like the Lakers thing for me, where it's like I just have no faith, you know, go do your own thing.
Celtics have gotten better this year.
Yeah, I don't know if it's so much the Celtics have gotten better, right? I think it's just more stuff has worked in their favor all year in a way, right? Like, the best thing that happened to the Celtics was Doc Rivers getting hired, in my mind, right? Because, like, now there's just, like, a ton of spotlight on the Giannis in the Bucks. Again, another series we haven't really talked about a ton, obviously, but we haven't, I guess, really needed to in a way. I mean,
Indiana, I think, with the win, though?
I think the only main talking point from that is, like, Damian Lillard going off after, you know, Tyrese Haliburton gave him the Dame Time thing in the regular season and stuff like that. So, I don't know. The West, we haven't talked about the Thunder and Pels yet either, but again, Zion could be back, but, I mean, I just think the Thunder are just way too good for what the Pels kind of have available to them for firepower. It's why I kind of really wish the Kings actually did beat the Pelicans. I think the Kings and Thunder would have been an awesome series.
I think so, too. Pelicans, Thunder just not doing it for
me. No.
My least interest series.
If it's not the least interesting series for me, it might be the in all honesty, Milwaukee-Indiana series. But there's a reason why we haven't talked about either one of them exactly, and that's probably because of that, so...
Well, we always draw to the East more because,
yeah. Other teams are there. And, yeah.
Yeah, I like that because I care about that Indiana, right. Milwaukee, because that's who the Knicks could potentially play in the next round. So, got to win one more. Obviously, getting that 3-0 series lead is huge.
But luckily, because of the TV schedule, we'll still be here next week talking about the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, you like it?
It's the same crap every year with them, man.
And then the
I don't know about
the exact... And they fly through the conference finals.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how the other series are, because only I paid, like, close enough attention to the Heat-Celtics series for me to notice.
They're just playing game two.
They went Sunday, today, Wednesday. Game three is Saturday. Game four is Monday. Then game five, if necessary, is next Wednesday. Then I think it's, like, game six is on Saturday next week, and then game seven, if necessary, is on the Monday after. I mean, what are we doing?
Oh, that's way too long.
Yeah. And hockey's pretty much every other day.
Yeah. And then, and the basketball conference finals, they go every other day.
Yeah, I know.
And why do they? That's a great round. They fly through that round.
Yeah.
And then the finals. Don't even get me started on the finals. They just drag it out.
I'm not that until September.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to be. I've never seen the Knicks play in June, so
it's possible this year. Really is possible, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, some interesting series. I mean, what I like about the NBA right now is you don't know who's going to win the championship.
Yeah.
You got an idea.
Pretty much, yeah.
You think Denver Celtics probably could
New Orleans.
Yeah,
obviously. Obviously New Orleans. Shit.
Did you fill out a bracket?
No.
I have a bracket right now. Looking good.
I didn't get an invite.
the only upset right now is the only upset I had was Dallas, which isn't even that big of an upset. That's the only upset in the whole first round.
That really is probably the series flying actually under the radar because like both games have been pretty good. So
also Clippers choke every year.
Yeah, yeah.
And when are we gonna like? Is James and then Damian Lillard? You just brought him up too, not that long ago. Show me a Damian Lillard highlight that's not in the first round, please. Mm. All his great moments are in this first round. He shows up in the first round, but man, he doesn't do anything else. One, I don't think he's ever played in a conference finals.
He has not.
I think is it the one where he hit the buzzer beater against Houston? Is that the only time he's even been to the second round?
I think so.
Which was a great shot, Dwight Howard on the Rockets at the time. It was a interesting. Interesting series that was. One thing I am enjoyed is Knicks Sixers that's a series we have not seen in a long time. So I've been enjoying that. Heat Celtics, see that one a lot. Seen that one over the years.
Heat Celtics is the most common playoff series since I think 2000 or something like that.
Really? Yeah. I believe it. Yeah. Happens all the time, feels like.
It's nice. Nice to be good for a while.
And the Heat usually win.
Yeah.
I don't even know if the Celtics ever beat them.
Don't tell that to Boston.
Oh, when they went to the finals, did they beat them in the conference finals that year? Did he go to the conference finals that year, but then Celtics did. They lost to the – they lost – who'd they lose to? The Celtics.
The Heat? Wait.
Did the Heat lose to the Celtics in the conference finals when the Celtics finally made the finals?
In 2008 you're talking about?
No, recently. They lost to the Warriors in the finals, Celtics.
Oh, that one.
Was that 2021?
No, that wasn't the Heat. That was because they were coming out of the bubble. Was that the Bucks?
It was the year after the bubble.
Yeah. That wasn't the Heat.
No.
The Heat were rough after the bubble, too. I can't remember which.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Either way.
But they've played them a lot. And obviously, the most famous Heat-Celtics series is the night they beat them in, was it Game 6 or Game 7? And then we met by Musikita after the game. Remember that?
2012. Game 7, yeah.
You watched the Heat win. You had your Heat shirt on, and we met by Musikita. Have the picture to prove it.
I mean, I still have it. I think it's on Facebook, though. Lives forever on the internet. Let's transition over a little bit for the NFL draft. I don't like doing a ton of, like, the draft stuff because I just find a lot of it very not so much strange, right? It's just I think this the amount that people talk about it because they're just are looking for football content after the Super Bowl. This gets so draining. But
our guy Ryan Poles got some big decisions.
Yeah, local kid. I think they already know what they're doing, obviously. So I don't think they have much. I don't think he has much decision at least with the first pick.
I didn't realize they only have 4 picks total.
Yeah,
and two were in the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just because obviously it's 2 up front and it's that. So
what are they going to do at 9? That's the question.
I still think they probably trade out. I'm guessing, but
they need more picks.
I could be wrong.
They need more picks.
I don't know. I think it all depends what you're kind of aiming for because, like, they went out and they kind of did some stuff in free agency. Like, do you really need the picks then, necessarily?
You like the Keenan Allen sign?
Yeah, I mean,
or they trade for him?
No, that was a sign.
Sign.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the Washington thing for me where it's like, I mean, I think we know what direction they're going. Don't know exactly who, obviously.
So Caleb Williams wants to play for Chicago now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he ever didn't want to. This is the thing with all that crap, right? It's just like, these are kids. Like, I don't know what the hell they're going to want to do. Like, the perfect example of this, like, in retrospect, is like, why the hell wouldn't Eli Manning want to go spend some years in San Diego? Sounds way better than being in New York City in my mind, if you catch my drift. You know what I mean?
I tell you all the time.
I'm just saying hypothetically, right? It's no, like, no. You know.
Real. I want to live in San Diego. That's one of my dream places to go.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I would live in San Diego over New York any day.
Yeah, me and you are saying the same thing there. Okay. But, yeah, I mean, like, stuff like that. So it's like, whatever. I don't know. In an ideal world for me, selfishly as a Washington fan, I prefer them to literally just take nothing but, like, linemen and figure out that situation. But Trayvon Sam Howell kind of determined, I think, the route they're going, obviously.
No quarterback.
Well, they have Mariota, and they signed Cody Kessler.
Why not just go no quarterback? See if that works.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be cool. I mean, just have, like, 3 running backs back there and see what happens. You know, the old Miners Academy way. yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'll die on this hill. I've said it here. I've said it to a bunch of people I'm friends with and everything, and I get laughed at, scoffed at. Still think Michael Penix is the best quarterback available in this draft. Nobody really realizes it, you know.
But are you really going to be upset about Daniels?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't like him at all.
It's not so much I just don't like him.
Even if it's not your pick.
Some of those stats came from that he had this past year came from some fluff time. But look, I'm just pointing to you this way. Did the RG3 dance already. Don't know if I want to really do it again. You know,
doing a good job on ESPN.
Well, I don't disagree. I'm just saying, I've already done the RG3 dance, and it just doesn't work out.
But Mike Shanahan's not the coach.
This isn't a Mike Shanahan or Dan Quinn issue on this front. I'm getting towards here. It's the people that aren't in the offices, not in the locker room, that I get concerned about. That we should have seen the writing on the wall with. You know, I'd love to have football RG3 back. Don't know if I want the outside of football RG3 back. That's what I worry about with Jaden Daniels. You know? I just don't see a ton with... I don't see a ton of upside with Drake May. I mean, if you're going to do the Drake May thing, then why the hell did you do this hold on to Sam Howell? Penix is just more mature and everything. I don't know. I just assume beef up the line. I jokingly did a mock draft the other day, and I took Joe Alt at number 2 for Washington. So
he's gonna be good.
Yeah. So that's kind of my thought.
People get scared about the lefty quarterback.
I care less.
And that changes off your whole offensive line, man. Your blind side is on the other side of the line. So you got to change your whole lineup pretty much. And Penix is good. I like Penix. I would have him, Daniels, and Williams are really the only three I can rely on. I think McCarthy can be decent. Do not take that Howell-looking guy. What's his name? Drake May. I am not a Drake May guy. Do not take him. Is he really going to go top 10?
Yeah, probably.
Who's going to take him?
It'll be one of these teams that need a quarterback.
If it's the Giants, I'm going to lose my.
I don't know what some of these teams are thinking this year, man.
Like, Giants should go wide receiver first round, and Penix second round.
I don't know if Penix is going to make it that far.
I think he will.
We'll see.
I think people are scared of the lefty quarterback.
I think the key catalyst in a lot of this is what's New England going to do at three.
Lefties are weird, aren't they, though?
Well,
we don't deal with lefties. I got two lefties in my family.
I was about to do the joke, but I'm happy you are because you're the one living with them. So go ahead, Nick. Spotlight's yours.
National Lefties Day? Really? We really need one of those? Where's our National Righties Day?
Okay, now let's get on some weird territory.
We right-handers need to stick together. Lefties.
You are making some choices. I mean, New England's really the key catalyst here, I think, at three for, I'd say, the back end of that top 10 or whatever anybody else is going to do. Do they go the quarterback route?
Is the running back going to get drafted?
I think a lot of it depends. Is Corum? I mean, the Chargers apparently really want Corum. It's come out. But obviously, you're not taking them at, five, right? So, I don't know. It's a good question. Do we see a running back not taken in the first round? It's a fair question.
Oh, I don't know if there's going to be one until the third round.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Interesting. So, yeah, I don't know.
Is Mel Kiper going to have some coffee in him tomorrow?
Mel Kiper apparently doesn't own a cell phone.
What?
Wait, you didn't see that report?
No, he doesn't own a cell phone?
Yeah, McShay. I forgot what show McShay was on, but he said, Kiper only has, five landlines and no cell phone.
He watches The Bachelor, though. That's his favorite show.
Yeah, Kiper makes no sense to me.
He's awesome what he does, though. He's unbelievable. You just bring up a name. Yeah.
Todd.
He's got three sisters and four brothers. He's a great guy.
I don't understand. I don't understand where he came from still. Todd. Do we see, the Vikings trade up too? There's a lot of unknowns, I think, kind of lingering. We'll find out, obviously, we're live here right now and taping on Wednesday, and we'll know, I guess, in about 24 plus about 32 hours.
I like that they go on the road now for the draft. Big fan of that.
Detroit, you can say it, Roger.
I don't know how I'm going to feel about the NBA draft being 2 days long, but...
That's just a TV thing.
but the NFL draft, I like that it's 3 days long. I think that's interesting.
I'm just happy that I only have to pay attention for the first, half hour, and that I can kind of, go about my night.
Obviously, I'll always remember the 2020 draft, because that was the first thing we got sports-wise in a couple of months.
So weird.
That was, insane. Roger Goodell is in his basement.
Welcome to my man cave.
He's got M&Ms.
I kind of want them to go back to that, if I'm being completely honest.
That was one of the most interesting sporting events I've ever seen.
I'd love to be sitting with Roger Goodell in his basement while he's doing the draft.
It was so cool. And that was the first thing sports came back?
Mm-hmm. Kind of.
Yeah, not a huge NFL draft guy.
I'm just not a big draft guy, period. I've talked about it before. It's so weird to me.
It is my dad's favorite event of the year.
Really?
He loves it.
Gosh.
Loves it.
He's
a big Giants guy.
Older generation that finds it cool.
I think it is. Does your dad like it?
Yeah, hit or miss, I feel like. It depends the year.
I think it might be an older generation type thing.
Because, for me, I just, I really only care about who I get. I don't want to watch the whole thing if I don't have
your
to.
ESPN's been covering the Cowboys. Talking about what they'll do.
Cool. I'll be watching on NFL Network. I have the past handful of years, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, I guess, for the day. I don't. Did you see Talladega at all by chance?
My dad put it on the TV. I did catch the ending. It was pretty sick ending. Yeah. And I forgot at the time Tyler Reddick is Michael Jordan's team, so it was pretty cool.
Jordan was there for the first time in person.
First time this year.
Well, he was first time in person for a
win. For a win.
Yeah. So.
So that was pretty cool. Michael McDowell blew it the last lap there.
He didn't have a choice, though. You know, you in his position, you have to do that.
Who was it? Brad Keselowski? He could have won that thing, too. But what you call it, the draft. So.
That's why you go out there every Sunday.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Scott, shout out. I got to get a couple. Not the official shout out, but golf, dominating sport right now. Scooter. Scheffler and Nelly Korda.
Scooter, man.
You hear about Nelly?
Yeah.
5 straight wins.
It's wild.
Insane. It's crazy. She tied the record. So this has happened twice, I think.
And then you got the 15-year-old out there, too.
Yeah, he's killing it. Yeah, they're killing the sports.
They're killing the sport? I thought that was LIV.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just killing out there. Hopefully Nadal plays the French Open here in a couple weeks.
Nadal.
Kentucky Derby coming up.
Yeah.
That's
what, next weekend?
First weekend. Yeah. First Saturday of May.
Yep.
So next weekend. What else we got? We got hockey. Rangers 2-0. Madison Square Garden buzzing for 4 days straight.
I don't know how to feel about that series.
Islanders blew it.
The Capitals look very...
They weren't that good to begin with. This
year. There's a lot of like age showing on them.
They just got hot at the end and got in.
Yeah.
What's the Lightning series?
They're down 2-0.
2-0 to Bruins.
Florida.
Florida.
Bruins are up on Toronto.
Yeah, they're surprised. Not surprising, Vegas beat Dallas game one. Dallas?
You picked Dallas, though. Just like how you picked the Devils a couple years ago. That's right.
MLS off to a good start?
Oh, I don't give a shit. I think on that note, if you're going down that path, I should hit our stride to get on out of here. So appreciate everybody for listening, tuning in, and watching. Nick, this is your official who are you shouting out moment.
I had a shout out in my head just a second ago. I lost it.
Oh, my God. It was Scottie Scheffler all along.
I had one.
Is this a first?
Wasn't a birthday. No, it's not a first. I don't want to go celebrity shout out. No one likes those. I'll shout out Pat and Matt. It was a good trip. good trip in Pittsburgh. Actually, you know what? I'll go some semi shout out. Forget Pat and Matt. They've got enough. I want to get your opinion on this, so I'll shout out Kyle McCord, new Syracuse quarterback.
That's right.
One, tell me how was it an actual game, or how did Kyle look?
Yeah, I mean, it was close to being an actual game.
Was there concession stands? Was there food open?
There was.
It was like a game.
I did get a dome dog.
It was like a game.
That ice cream line was long. I've never seen an ice cream line that long at the dome before.
How was the crowd?
About 10,000.
And was it fit?
Huh?
How many people fit in it? What's the capacity?
Well, I mean, it's tough right now because, like, there are, like, whole-ass, like, sections without seats because they're doing the renovations, so.
I'm just wondering, is it half full? What's the fit? How many people can sit in there?
I mean, half full would be about, like, 25,000.
Okay, so 50,000.
I just told you, like, about 10,000.
No, I want to know what the capacity, 50,000, so.
Well, doing right.
That. Okay. I got a visual now.
But, Kyle McCord looked, he was dotting some passes. He looked pretty good out there, so. It's tough. It's spring, right? I mean, As much as Fran Brown kept it competitive, quote unquote, I mean, you're still kind of scheming for deliberate stuff in the spring, so.
Who won?
The white team? Yeah, the white team.
Syracuse won. Notre Dame's spring day was on Saturday, too.
I heard interesting discussions coming out of there. Might be seeing a transfer at quarterback, I heard.
He's leaving already, Leonard?
No, Agnello.
Oh, yeah. So shout out Kyle McCord.
They are worried though about Leonard. Rumors they might go into the portal to try and get a closer backup to the system for Leonard. So
shout out McCord.
Yeah, nice. Appreciate it, Nick. I appreciate you. Thanks for stopping by again.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank everybody for stopping by. We will be back at it again next Wednesday. Until then, enjoy the draft. Enjoy the NBA. Enjoy the NHL. Baseball, sure.
Warm weather coming up.
UFL, why not? I know I'm trying to get out in golf, I think, at some point this weekend, at least once. So, hey, plenty to do around here. I think this is like really the only bad day this week, quote unquote. So, yeah. We'll take it. Springtime in the Finger Lakes. Talk with everybody on Wednesday.